Before the reading of our text, we have a prayer today. First of all, on behalf of the family of Ruth Berglund, Ruth passed away this week from heart failure at the age of only 42 and leaves behind her husband Joel and two young daughters. And also Pastor Matt Brooks of Mount Olive, who is hospitalized with trouble with his spleen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, comfort this young family with the consolation which only you can bring through your word and gracious promises. Grant courage and strength to this father and his children in their time of grief. We also pray for your healing hand on your servant Matt Brooks. Give wisdom and ability to those who now seek to restore his health, and by their efforts grant him full recovery according to your will. Teach us to number our days in this life, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may someday join in the reunion of your saints in glory. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Our text for this morning is taken from the book of Genesis, the 39th chapter, and the story of Joseph. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. In 2011, the Atlanta Police Department decided to set up a sting to catch sexual predators, and they had a little 12-year-old girl go online and invite men over the internet to come to her house. The report is that one of those men showed up at the front door with a stuffed animal in one hand and a whip in the other. If that isn't a picture of the devil when it comes to temptation, he loves to come and entice us with something that appears like it's going to give us so much good, and something that we would be comfortable with, and yet on the other hand, he is there to do us harm and ultimately to destroy us. This week we've been considering the challenges of dealing with temptation as believers in Christ. And today we have a beautiful example in Scripture, in the story of Joseph, of how he dealt with temptation in a godly way and fought it off. And today let us strive to learn lessons from him. Just a little background on the story to remind you. Potiphar, the home in which he was working, Potiphar was the captain of the guard of the Pharaoh, the highest position in Egypt. So this man was of high rank. And he had purchased young Joseph, who was a teenager at the time, to be a slave from the traveling band of Ishmaelites that had gotten him from his brothers. If you remember, Joseph's brothers had sold him into slavery. So Joseph was now working in Potiphar's house. And by God's blessing, had risen to a great height in that house, and everything was going very well and very smoothly because of the hand of God being with him. And Potiphar had made him the overseer over everything in the home. And now we see this text that I just read before us unfolding. And let us learn some lessons about temptation itself today, and then also about how to deal with temptation. First of all, notice that we're just not safe anywhere from temptation in this world, from being enticed into sin. I'm sure that when Joseph took this position and was elevated to this position, this was the last thing that he expected would happen. He didn't think that he would find this kind of a temptation, being a slave in a foreign land and working in this man's house. But we need to be reminded, all of us, even here on this nice, wonderful Christian campus with a lot of fellow believers around and this Christian community that's dedicated to the one thing needful, temptation's here just as well as it is in the bars downtown. Temptation is just everywhere. Thomas A. Kempis once said this: "There is no order of monks so holy, no place so secret, where there is not temptation. For in ourselves is the root of temptation." Another thing we can learn from Joseph in this account is to check yourself early on, to get in front of the temptation early on in that sense. Joseph manages here to free himself on the front end of things, to get out of it on the front end. As the story goes on, he even has to run away another time and leaves with his robe in this woman's hand. The book of Proverbs talks a lot about especially sexual temptation and how men can be drawn in slowly and let themselves go on with it. And he talks there, the author talks about how an adulteress begins to tempt a man into this sin, and this is what it says: with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield, to stop and listen. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. And then this line that is just devastating: he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter. He went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter. That is so true when it comes to sexual temptation. The longer you let it linger, the longer you let it entice you, the longer you look at the computer screen, the deeper into it and the harder it is to fight the sin, the more difficult it becomes to pull yourself back out. And the less wrong it feels, the less dangerous it seems, and the more intoxicating it becomes. Also learn from Joseph in this story that the Lord sees everything. Nothing escapes his eye. Joseph probably could have thought in this scene, that scenario, that there was no one's going to find out. She's certainly not going to tell her husband. He thought he could get away scot-free, possibly. Would have been very tempting to think that nobody's ever going to find out about this. And isn't that the way it often is with our sins, that we think nobody's ever going to know, nobody's ever going to see? If one person happened to be there, we might not have done this, but because other people could possibly see, that's just enough to click the conscience in and make us a little concerned about it. Paul Kretzmann says this: it is the thought of God, the fear of the Lord, the consciousness that nothing is hidden from his knowledge, that aids in fighting temptations of every kind. But the fourth and final and greatest lesson that we need to learn from Joseph regarding temptation is this: remember how wonderful the God is that you might be offending. Remember the love and the mercy of this gracious God. Joseph says to this woman, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" It's a rhetorical question. He doesn't expect her to answer. He's just saying, how could I do this? Think who this God is who loves me. Think what he's done for me. Think what he's promised me in the future. How can I do this sin against a God who has been so kind and gracious to me? Faith sees God in his goodness and in his mercy and in his love. When I was a little boy, I had the mother from heaven. She was just amazing. Even my friends would often say, your mom's amazing. She really was. Just an amazing woman. Wonderful. Just so kind-hearted and loving and gentle. And I knew that her every thought about me was just love. And I disappointed her a few times, trust me, more than I should have. But there were a lot of times when I was in a situation where, just because I knew I didn't want to let my mom down, because I knew it would disappoint her and just maybe make her cry, that was enough in me to motivate me to not do something. How do you teach that? How do you instill that in your kids someday? I don't know. I didn't figure it out as a parent, I'll tell you that. But where does that come from? That's the same motivation with which Joseph is responding here. When he considers God, his reason for avoiding this temptation isn't just terror and fear, but it's love. His God has earned this kind of respect from him, has earned this kind of allegiance from him. And when think about it for us when we face temptations. We should want to avoid the temptation not just because it's so wrong, But think of this wonderful God who loves us, who sent his Son into this world to die for us, to rise from the dead so that you and I could someday rise from our graves and go to heaven. Think what we have waiting for us in the beautiful, wonderful future with the angels that God has prepared just because of his grace and mercy. And it doesn't stop. You and I fall and make mistakes all the time, and we keep getting back up, and he still loves us. He still forgives us. He still puts his body and blood of his Son in our mouth and says, "You're forgiven." He still dresses us in the robe of righteousness, and he still keeps loving us. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against that kind of a God? Amen.
God, not